Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you, as always, in that blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Oh, He is your Savior, isn't He? He can be. He came to be. In fact, the Word of God tells us in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And listen, folks, listen. In light of what I know, I'm preaching today by the grace of God. If I were you, I'd run to Him. I mean to tell you, I would run to Jesus. Hey, look, folks, look. Look. If you got any spiritual acumen about you at all, if you got any Bible knowledge at all, you must realize and understand. And let me say this. I'll even go this far to say, even if you don't have a Bible acumen or Bible knowledge, you look at this world, see the shape that she's in, you know something's got to happen. You know something's got to change. Well, it's going to. It's going to suddenly. It's going to happen, friend, like a thief coming in the night. And it's only going to be for those who are ready and looking for that event that it'll go well with. And look, and I'm talking about the second coming of Christ. Hey, listen, I beg with you. I plead with you. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, drop what you're doing. Stop what you're doing. Go somewhere. Bow your head. Humble your heart and say, God, save me. Save me, Lord. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Listen, folks, I preached on the second coming of Christ for 44 years this year, as many times as anything that I've ever preached on. I've looked for Him. I'm still looking for Him. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, He's coming. I don't know when, but here's what I do believe. I know His coming is closer now, today, at this moment, than it's ever been. Now look, there's been a lot of things I've preached on through this, but I'm going to highlight some things today. I'm going to use a text for this message today. I don't know. I've never used it. Not that I ever remember, but don't you think it's about time? Don't you think it's about time? Now that could preach a lot of ways, but I've opened my Bible to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As soon as Debbie does one of our favorite songs, get ready. I'll be back with the message, and I hope and pray that it'll be a blessing to you. So listen, you get ready, folks. You can get ready today, but tomorrow you may not be able to. I'll be back in a moment for the message. Thanks for tuning in.
Trumpet.
I like that. Thank God. Thank you, Debbie. What a beautiful song. What a great message. What a wonderful job. Friend, listen, I'm excited. You say, why I preach? Well, I get to preach the Word of God. I get to share truth from God's timeless book. Now listen, this Bible is minimized in this day. It's criticized in this day. It's many, many things in this day. But can I tell you, though they refer to the King James as the quote, old King James, like it's tired and old and wore out. Listen, this book's got more power in it than China or Russia and America and anybody else in all the world. Friend, listen, it's got the power of God in it, the power of God on it. Look, I'm glad that you've tuned in. I'm glad that God has stirred your heart. I'm glad that we've got together so that I could warn you, friend, that I could warn you to flee the wrath to come. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm going to begin in verse 1, and listen to what it says. But of the times and the seasons, brother, you have no need that I write unto you. Jesus said in one of the Gospels, said, no man knoweth the day nor the hour. But Paul, when he was writing to these people at Thessalonica that had won to the Lord, that had already taught about the second coming of Christ, taught about the rapture and the revelation, taught about Jesus returning to call His own home and then to judge. Listen, He said, you have no need that a writer can do you concerning the times and the season. Listen, folks, we may not know the day and the hour that Christ is going to come, and we won't. The Word of God says that we will not. There's no use trying to put a day and an hour on it. But I'll tell you what we can know. We can know the season. And look, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know about you. I absolutely don't know about you. But don't you think it's about time? Don't you think that it's about time that Jesus is coming again? He said, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. Can I tell you, it only comes a thief in the night to those who are not ready and looking for Him. He said, look now in verse 4. He's in verse 3. He said, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, they shall not escape. But ye, look at that, I like that. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief, for you're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us watch, or let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober, for they that sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. I like this verse, and I'll quit. This is the beginning of it. Well, I'll just read it all. Verse 10, he said, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation or deliverance by our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk to you today, just for a little while, about this thought. I've done giving it to you 3 or 4 times. Don't you think it's about time? You ever have somebody tell you that? Don't you think it's about time for this? Or don't you think it's about time for that? Well, I've heard about this, and I've heard about... Don't you think it's about time? Hey, listen, friend, I'm going to tell you something. I believe it's about time for the Lord to come, don't you? I mean to tell you, friend, listen, I've been looking at the signs. I've been looking at the Word of God. I've been watching what's happening. I've been reading and praying, and listen, folks, things have been happening in the book. Listen, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll find in verse 1 a great passage of Scripture that sets up the remainder of that chapter. And he says, in the last days perilous times shall come. Now the reason I bring us here first is this. Somebody think about this. Down there, down to about, about verse 7, 8, or 9, somewhere through that. Can I tell you that Paul gives at least 19 characteristics of the last time? Perilous times, times in which we're living, dangerous times, hard to be controlled times. And you said, well, preach, what's the big deal about that? I mean, these kind of things have happened down through life. I mean, down through the ages, the decades, the centuries, the millenniums behind us. Listen, people used to do these things. Here's the key. Here's the key to this message. Can I tell you, friend, listen, there's been a lot of these things that I preach preached on for 44 years. Now listen, there's never been a time like it is now when all of these, when all of these signs are converging, coming together, manifesting themselves as clearly and as plainly and as readily as they are this day. And all of you that are listening have to say amen about that. I mean to tell you, have to say, yeah, preacher, you're right. You read the list of these 19 characteristics of these last days, of this perilous times. And we're talking about the last days of the last days, because the last days started at Pentecost. The last day have run down through the church age. But listen, friend, listen to the Spirit of God. Listen to the Word of God. We're in the last days of the last days, without a doubt in my mind. That's exactly where we're at. And all of these signs are converging. All of these signs are coming together in a remarkable way, in a way like they have never came together before. Look what he said in verse 2, "For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, proud, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." Can I tell you, friend, that sounds like our day, does it not? That sounds like this day, this hour in which you and I are living in. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, we're living in a hedonistic society. When anything goes, anything that God is against, anything the Word of God is against, listen, people are for it. Isn't that amazing? I mean to tell you, we're living in an age where humanism has begun to reign, where humanism, friend, the love of self, the love of money, the love of pleasure has taken over. And you know what? Humanism, I mean, that's the belief that that man himself as God, that man is able to accomplish anything he chooses. It's a time, listen, friend, of self-love, if you'll allow me to say it that way. Gross amusement. Lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God. Can we not see where we're at today? Listen, friend, man believes that that he can accomplish anything on his own, and he forgets that we breathe the air, how that God has given to us. I mean to tell you, listen, friend, it's become a religion in this last day. If you turn over to the book of Romans chapter 1, you'll see that mankind has often, and he is in this generation, replaced God for himself. Whoa, when man becomes God, then listen, only man limits what that God can do. Hey, I want you to know, this day is a lot like the day of Judges, when there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in their own eyes. Hey, folks, it's a day of great deception. It's a day of deep apostasy. It's a day when there's gross persecution of Christians. And you know what? There's a rise. There's a rise in occultism. Oh, do you know that these are signs? These are signs of the second coming of Christ. Hey, I don't know about you. What do you think? It's about time. Don't you think, friend, it's about time. Now I'm going to get just a little more specific on some things than what I have been. And I'm going to pick up some things, listen now, that I haven't normally preached on through the days and the years that's come and gone. But oh, look, friend, it's exciting, is it not? It's exciting if your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's exciting if you've been sealed by the Spirit of God. It's exciting, friend, if you know without a doubt how that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now I'm going to give you two things, listen, that we, three things. Actually, we can't go any further until I do. Back in 1917, there was something came out called the Balfour Decision, and that was a decision that was made when they were getting ready. Britain was to pull out of the Middle East and divide up the territory. And you know what? They said, look, we're going to establish a homeland for the nation of Israel, for the Jews, for God's people. We're going to give them a national homeland. Isn't that amazing? Can I tell you the reason this 1917 17 Balfour decision of the British government. Why it's so important is this, simply, friend, how the prophecy of the end time, the prophecy, listen, of latter day couldn't come to pass, couldn't start, couldn't pick up until, listen, there was a nation of Israel. Thank God that Balfour decision opened the door up for 1948, May the 14th, actually, when Israel, thank God, raised the flag, raised its country flag, and declared itself once again, after almost 2,000 years in exile, almost 2,000 years, buried in the nations, are buried among the nations of the world in the diaspora, and they declared themselves to be an independent, sovereign nation. Then, in June of 1967, during the Six-Day War, maybe along about the 7th of June, do you know what they did? They marched into the capital of Jerusalem and reclaimed it. David's capital, that great city. Now listen, friend, whether people want to admit it or not, it's never been, friend, really a Muslim city. I mean to tell you, there's never been a Palestine. Do you know that? Or a Palestinian state. Let me say it that way. They called that area Palestine. But look, friend, nothing could happen to those things did, especially the Balfour decision. It was time for the Jews to begin to head back home in unbelief. But listen, friend, they always won't be there in unbelief. But let me give you some other things. I want you to think, friend. I want you to think with something. Hey, listen, how many of y'all have a smart phone, a cell phone, an iPhone, something right there in your hand? Do you know what? Do you know what? That's a sure sign that prophecy is real. I don't have time to develop this like I'd like. This is really a series of messages. But if you'll turn over there in the book of Daniel chapter 12 and then in the book of Revelation chapter 11, you'll find two things that come together. Daniel said in chapter 12 that in the end time, the last days, knowledge shall be increased. I just read an article today that says that knowledge is doubling every 13 months. Back in 1900, they said that knowledge would double every 100 years. In 19, I believe it is, if I'm remembering correctly, maybe it's 45 or 65. It would double every 25 years. But in this age of internet access, of World Wide Web, it is multiplying. Now you listen to this, friend. Every 13 months, and they think that that's going to increase as far at or decrease the time that knowledge increases at a less amount of time, if you understand what I'm saying. Hey, friend, listen. Over there in the book of the Revelation, chapter 11, were those two prophets, those two olive trees are standing for 1,260 days or 260 days, which is 1,260 days. You better turn over there and read it. Listen, for 1,200, and that's right, 360 days. Do you know what? Listen, they're going to be killed. I mean to tell you, they're going to cause the world all kinds of issues. They have power. I mean to tell you, they have supernatural, out of this world, had divine power. There's going to be a day when they're overturned, when they're killed by the enemy. Their dead bodies will literally lay in the street of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. What a mess that'll be. What a sight that'll be. And you know what the Bible says? That they're going to be seen. That's going to be seen throughout all the world. Isn't that something? And it says, and they of the people and the kindred and tongues and nation shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days. Can I ask you, sir, ma'am, how that could happen? Hey, look, I remember when TV came on the scene. I remember when they put those what is communication satellites up. I remember when they brought cell phones out. And you know what, friend, throughout the world, throughout all the nations, tongues and language, man can get on his cell phone and watch what's going on in real time. what's happening on the other side of the world. Hey, listen, folks. Listen. With knowledge increasing and with that ability of communicative ability. Hey, listen, we've got to know by these signs that Jesus must be coming very soon. Isn't that amazing? Oh, isn't that amazing? Thank God. Listen, I'm ready. Are you? What about the development of nuclear war? Isn't that amazing? I mean, to tell you, if you go in the book of Revelation chapter 6 and chapter 8, probably over there in chapter 16 too, you'll see that one of these days after the church, I said after the church is gone in the time of Jacob's trouble, during that time of the tribulation, the great one, according to Jesus' words, Matthew 24:21, I believe it is, where he said, listen, there'd be great tribulation like none other. Hey, John began to write what Jesus showed him. And in chapter 6, we'll find, I believe, the earth being reduced by a third. On over there in chapter 8, maybe it is, of Revelation, you'll see it being reduced by a half. On over there in the book of Revelation, chapter 16, if I'm remembering right, I'm not looking, I don't have notes on this. Hey, can I tell you, there are going to be people that have sores all over them. You say, what is that, preacher? I believe that's evidence of nuclear war. I believe it's the side effects or the end effects of nuclear war. Oh, listen, friend, how Jesus couldn't come until that was created. Oh, what a mad thing man's mind is. But oh, how God's able to take it. How God's able to take it and use it for His glory and His honor. If you'll turn back to the book of Genesis chapter 3, you'll find the word violence mentioned two times. Hey, look, this past summer, at the making of this program, listen, when all this pandemic was going on in the summer of 2020, hey, look, have you ever seen the beat in the cities of America? How sad that it was when these governors of states and mayors of states would not come out against all of that rioting and looting in the city. Hey, listen, friend. You know what that is a sign of? It's a sign of the last days when violence, when terrorism, and that was terrorism, if I'd ever saw it, bless God, filled the earth. In the book of Revelation chapter 21 and 8, and Revelation 9 and 11, you'll hear read the word sorcery in those verses. Do you know that drug use, the increase of drug use in the world, friend, is a sign of the end times. Did you know that? And listen, you're talking about a pandemic. Bless God, drug culture, drug use, all of its hellish, demonic stuff that's going on. It's tragic, friend. It affects every family. It affects every age, the young, the old. Oh, listen, friend. Listen, that use of mind-altering, of stupefying mind, a numbing, a drugs, friend, is a picture, is a type, is pointing to the fact that Jesus is coming soon. In the book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, you'll see the word pestilences. Ah, listen, friend, there's been several diseases in the last 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 decades that's been related to some kind of worldwide illness. Hey, this last one. Listen, they were just trying us. They were just setting us up for the kill. They're just setting us up, bless God, for being controlled. I'm here to tell you, friend, listen, it's not going to get any better from this point on, but it's going to get worse. Can I tell you that according to the book of Daniel, chapter 12, that an increase in understanding of Bible prophecy is the mark of the last days. God told Daniel when he was writing to shut up that book, to put a seal on it. And I want you to know, thank God there's no seal on it now. We're living in the end times, the last days. And God ripped that seal off. He's given insight. He's given understanding. He wants you to be saved, sir. He wants you to be saved, ma'am. He doesn't want you to be lost. He doesn't want you to be here. Bless God when the devil takes over, when all hell breaks loose. So I'm going to tell you what to do today. Right now, listen. Bless God, you feel the stirring in your spirit. You feel the fear of God working on your heart. You know that you're a sinner. You know if you go to eternity, you'll die lost and go to hell. You're afraid to stand before God, and rightly so, to give an account of what you've done with Jesus. Here's what you do. Do it quickly. Sir, do it quickly, ma'am. Bow your head. Humble your heart and say, God, I'm a sinner. Right now, I believe Jesus died. I believe you raised him, and I ask you to save me. Forgive me of my sin. And the best I know how, I repent of him. And right now, I receive Christ as my Savior. Come into my heart and let me live for you till the day I can live with you. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Hey, if you did that, write me and let me know. Get a hold of me. I want to help you. I'll give you something if you will. But oh, look, do it today. Do it now. Father, save anybody. Everybody will call on you. And I know you will because you said you will. And I ask this. I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus, my Savior. And amen. Amen. Hey, listen, friend. Don't you think it's about time. Until the next time, God bless you.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.